In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's been a bad couple of weeks for the pastor. First, there was Jim Baker and his wife, Tammy, of the PTL Club. And then just last week, there was the no-holds-barred, two-night docudrama about Tom Bird, a Missouri Synod pastor and graduate of this seminary, who was almost certainly an adulterer and who has been convicted of murder and conspiracy to murder to boot. Not only have these men been brought into disrepute, the office of the Holy Ministry, the office to which each of you men aspire, has been brought into disrepute as well. What can a preacher say to you now, especially to you vicars, and most especially to you fourth-year men who will be going to your first calls, perhaps near Emporia, Kansas, where Tom Bird had his parish, in the light of these developments? Should the preacher harangue you, remind you to keep your nose clean? You know that already. It wasn't lack of knowledge in the two cases I've just mentioned. It was lack of will. Should he lecture you on servanthood? Impress upon you that you are not a master, but a slave, not a lord, but a servant, that you are not to lord it over your people, but to come into their midst with humility and subservience, exalting them and not yourselves? Perhaps we surely are to be servants, for our Lord himself came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. But that accent, a favorite theme around call day and graduation time here on this campus, that emphasis is not the only game in town. And when it does become so overarching a concern that it dominates all other considerations, it can have unfortunate results, such as congregations referring to their pastor, as my in-law's congregation tends to do, as their hired boy. Know what a preacher can do as he preaches to you in the wake of Jim and Tammy Baker and in the aftermath of murder ordained is to remind you not of your weaknesses, not of your lowliness. Rather, he can remind you that you, as you minister, will be the representatives of your Lord. Yes, that you, as you minister, will be the representatives, the very images of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Just what does this mean? It means simply this, that you, as you minister to the people who call you, will be for them standing in the place of Christ. Which means that when you speak, Christ speaks. When you act, Christ acts. When you are brought into disrepute, Christ is brought into disrepute. And when you are faithful, Christ is seen by one and all to be our faithful Lord. Listen to the words of absolution on page 16 of the Lutheran hymnal. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What do you do as you celebrate the Holy Sacrament? Do you not stand in the place of Christ, breaking the bread as he broke it, and distributing that bread and administering that cup even as he did these same things on the night in which he was betrayed? And do you not also stand in Christ's place when you preach his word, as we heard in our lesson today? He who hears you hears me, and he who hears me hears him who sent me. As you act, so he acts. Present, as it were, in human form. And this is why our Lord said to his fully empowered ambassadors in our text, he who receives you receives me. For as far as your people are concerned, to receive your ministry will be to receive the ministry of their very Lord himself. Here is the meaning of your ministry. I would set before your eyes. Do you have to be reminded of the dangers? Of course you do. Do you have to be given the law to beat down human pride, which wells up inside of every one of us? Of course you do. But most of all, you need the vision. Most of all, you need the proclamation of who you really are. Most of all, you need the gospel of the resurrection, victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For you are forgiven and redeemed. The end time blessings of the new age have truly come upon you. You will be stewards of the mysteries of God, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You will be servants of the king, not lackeys of the people, but servants of your God. As our Lord says in our text, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. And your people will be blessed as they receive you. As Jesus says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. What greater calling could there be? What greater incentive for holy living could there be? Is there anything else that could, that should spur you on? No, the answer is nothing else at all. For you, more than any other people, will be so richly blessed. Go then, as we bring to the close this academic year, go with our Lord's blessing and with our Lord's grace. And go with the vision that you have seen the King, and that now you have been called that others might see him as well. We ask it in the name of this King, our resurrected Lord, our Good Shepherd, and our God. Amen.